The end of the Ephesians reading that I read a few moments ago spoke of a God who can do far more than we can ask or imagine. So we hear our Old Testament reading, please, from 2 Kings.
I'm reading from 2 Kings, chapter 4, reading from verse 42. A man came from Baal Shalshar, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But the servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Amen.
I don't know whether you remember that reading at all, but it gives a foretaste of something that Jesus did, didn't it? The feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. More than we can imagine. The set reading, gospel reading, is the first 21 chapters of John, and the beginning of that passage tells the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We're not going to hear that section, but instead I invite two people who were there on the day.
Oh, hi, Harry.
Hi, Ted.
I hadn't realised that you were here this morning.
Well. There you go.
Yeah, I've just got a bit of picnic in here. Do you want to share?
Yes, please.
Well, let's get it out. Hey. I don't know where it's come from, but it's worth a try anyway.
Given to you by someone, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, there we go.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Give it a try. See what you think.
Yesterday. Nice roll.
They're okay, aren't they? What's in them, Harry?
I don't know, Ted. Fish of some sort, I think.
I know that you don't like fish paste, do you, Harry?
Not much, usually, no.
Is this going down?
This is okay, this is good stuff. It's just right, it's just what I like, yeah.
Yeah, it's an unusual element.
It is, yes.
Yeah. What time is it, Harry?
Well, I don't believe it.
Why? What's the matter?
It's nearly 8:30. What'll I tell the missus now I'm late for tea?
8:30? You mean we've been here 4 hours? No wonder I'm feeling so peckish. But we've got these rolls to keep us going.
Well, I thought it was nearer 6:00, Ted.
Well, so did I, Harry. So did I. Good talker, though, isn't he?
He is, oh yes.
I mean, there's not many people who could sit around for 4 hours listening to somebody talking.
Now, I like his stories. That one about the farmer, for instance, sowing his seed. Never thought of myself as a bit of soil before. Have you, Ted?
Can't say I have, Harry. But you don't want to believe everything that you hear about him.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, all that rubbish about him touching people in that cure, and him turning gallons of water into wine, all that sort of stuff.
Yes, I did hear something about that.
There's even talk about the fact that he brought somebody back to life. Brought him back from the dead. Dead as a doornail, they were. And then he talks to them, and they're right as rain again. Absolutely ridiculous, man. Load of rubbish.
Yeah, ridiculous. Load of rubbish. Just one thing, though, Ted.
What's that, Harry?
I wonder where he got all these fish rolls from.
You can have one if you like.
How can I thank you?
Well, thank you. yeah, and the ad libbing as well. So we now finish the section of John 6 that is assigned for today, and Helen's going to read the next little piece. Thank you.
We're now in the New Testament, John 6, and we're reading from verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. Amen.
Thank you again. We sing our next hymn, number 153, "Break Thou the Bread of Life, O Lord, to me." Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us,
To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Able to do more than we can ask or imagine. It does bring some questions to mind when we hear words like that, doesn't it? Is he really? Can he do anything? Does he really have that power? Is he at work in us with, as Paul says elsewhere, that same power that by which Christ was raised to life? And what if that is true? What do we want to ask of him or dare to imagine in our lives and in the world? So let's think of the stories that we've heard already today. The orphan going on that train. Dare he at least hope a little for some improvements in his life? If he really had been taken by Mr. and Mrs. Henry Ford, there would have been such an immeasurable transformation in his circumstances, from orphan to son, from homeless to living in a mansion, from no family or future to being loved and an heir with a name that no one could take away. Immeasurably more than he could ask or imagine. Grace at work in his life and in our lives because of what God does for us. The hungry in the Old Testament and in the New being fed in a miraculous way. The frightened men on a boat seeing Jesus walking on water. Walking on water. We say it now, you know? Really? More than we can imagine. The power of God. Mark's version says he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Miracle after miracle, or as John calls them, signs. The Gospel of John is known for the seven signs, the seven specific miracles of Jesus. And in his Gospel, in the first half of the book, it seems that all the teaching that Jesus offers is either leading up to a sign or resulting from it. He was very clear about why he focused on them. They were signs of Christ's status as the Christ, the Messiah, the one who they'd been waiting for. And he hoped that these signs would elicit faith in those who read of them. And at the end of his gospel, he said there are many other things which Jesus did. If they were written down one by one, I don't think the world itself would be able to contain the books that would be written. Immeasurably more. More. More of what God has done in the lives of the people who met Jesus, and immeasurably more in the lives of all who have followed since then. So, okay, a little quiz. Who can name all seven signs? The first one is easy. The first miracle of Jesus?
Water into wine.
Water into wine. The healing of the royal official's son, the healing of the pool of Bethesda, And then two that we've read today. The feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, healing the man born blind, and number seven, perhaps another foretaste of what was to come. The raising of Lazarus, absolutely. Signs of who Jesus was and is, signs of the power of God that is the same today. And it is rare for us to see things like this, isn't it? The miracles that we see might be more muted, but it doesn't mean to say that those miracles are not impossible, for God is the same. What are the miracles that we see in our lives? For me, sometimes it is the way in which God prompts us to be somewhere at a certain time or place. The way in which, if you need somebody, they're there for you. The way in which we can fail time and time again in our discipleship, in our longing to do what God wants and hopes that we will do. We fail, but we are forgiven again and again. Our readings, particularly the Ephesians one, encourages us to think bigger and better and stronger and higher than we often do. A bit like the Olympics. Their theme used to be, and I'm no good at Latin, so I won't try. The three words were faster, higher, stronger. That was the aim, to do better and better and better, to surpass everything that had gone before. In July 21, the session of the International Olympic Committee approved a change. I don't know whether you're aware of that. I wasn't until I researched and made sure that faster, higher, stronger was what I was looking at. But now it's striving for excellence and encouraging people to be the best that they can be, demonstrating respect in many different manners, respect towards yourself, the rules, your opponents, the environment, the public, celebrating friendship, which is quite unique to the Olympic Games, an event that brings people together. I still like faster, stronger, higher. I'm sure if you like watching the Olympic Games, over the next 3 weeks, you'll find more and more superlatives. Amazing, wonderful, incredible, better than we could imagine. And we read Ephesians. We read the prayer that Paul wrote. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. We can never fully grasp it. You may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And the verse that I've read now more than once. To him who is able to do. He is able to do immeasurably more more and more. I think you touched on this last week from what I heard, the abundance of God's gifts, the abundance of bread when it was needed, the abundance of forgiveness and grace when we need it, the abundance of love, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. If we allow him to do that, how much more, as individuals and as a church, can we do for God's kingdom? His love surpasses knowledge. Grace, power, and love were the three words that really strike me in this passage. And all of them are abounding, amazing, beyond our comprehension. And yet they are all available for us. Well, that's the end of part one. I'm back in 2 weeks. I wonder what we might be thinking about then. For now, we turn to our next hymn. Recognising that we do need more and more from God in our lives, just as I am without one plea.
Just